What's up, William?
What's up, guys? What a crazy time to join the show.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Just what's your favorite Anthony Edwards screenshot messages has gone public?
Ooh,
don't answer that, Will. Please, please don't answer that. Will's one of the good guys. We don't want to corrupt Will Z. That's why we just bring in Will for like 10 to 15 minutes and then get him out of here.
Because it gets crazy.
He's got this Kennedy, this wonderful family. We don't want to mess up Will.
Will's off limits, okay?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We will protect Will Z at all costs.
I love that.
I want to start. Kings are back in action tonight at the Golden 1 Center. Start with your most recent article. This one about Markelle Fultz. I'm not sure that we've gotten the opportunity to talk about this with you yet. What do you think about that pickup? Why does it work? Why does it not work? What do you think his role will be? I just asked three questions at once. Literally the worst radio show host in history.
No, I love it. Let's see if I can remember all three.
That's why you don't ask all those questions at once.
I already don't know if I remember the third, but that's all right. Love the pickup. I mean, it's super low risk, high reward. Like, it's the exact type of buyout candidate that I think the Kings should go for, and probably the only one that they're going to be able to get on the buyout market, or like that late season. They're not going to get like the Ben Simmons. Like, that's just not going to happen. So to be able to bring him in and in a big position of need for that point guard spot, I think is great. How he fits, I think, was the second question. I don't know. And that's what I tried to look at in the article. So the latest article, I looked at kind of what the rotation has looked like in the last five games. So over the last five games, we have kind of the new look roster. Laravia wasn't here for that first one of the five, but other than that, they've had everyone. There haven't been any blowout wins or losses. So it's been a pretty good example of what the rotation could look like on a night-to-night basis. And now we have to try and fit Markelle Fultz into that. I think it kind of made me sad to look at who might be the person to fall out of the rotation. Before I say it, I don't know if you guys read it. I'm sure I posted it like an hour ago and you guys been on the air. Who would you guys take out of the rotation to put Fultz in if you had to choose?
I don't know. So, the caveat, I wouldn't take somebody out. Their minutes might go down a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. And then my first thought would be Malik.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 10-man rotation, though. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
so who are you dumping to the curb then, Will? Because you're waiting for us to say something. I feel like I know who it is. Who are you dropping?
It's Trey Lyles.
That's not what I thought you were.
No, we're not upset.
Who are you going to say?
We're not upset at all. And I like Trey. Damn.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say cut DeMar's minutes. I thought you were going to say drop DeMar's minutes.
I mean, cutting the minutes, it makes sense. He's played a ton of minutes over those five games. So if you look at DeRozan's minutes, 37, 32, 38, 37, 43. That last one was overtime. So you can cut down on some minutes for that. But I don't know if I'm a huge fan of a 10-man rotation. I like having players in just a little bit longer for stretches. But it's tough. You look at, and why I think Lyles, it's hard. I love Lyles. The whole season, the bench has been either Monk at the start of the season or after Monk started, it's been Keon and Trey. And that's pretty much in terms of like viable bench options. But now you look at Valanciunas is here. He's the clear backup five. And you've got Laravia who can play the backup four, I think. He's kind of a 3-4 combo. But I think he could fill that role. And it may be something where it goes a little bit back and forth between Laravia and Lyles and who's kind of playing better at the time. But it's Lyles has been rough this year. Over those five games, again, small sample size, but Lyles, just over 10 minutes a game, 3.8 points, 2.2 rebounds, one assist, 33% from the field, 23 from three. And the minutes just haven't been good. We look at the net on-off rating. all the time. And in those 52 minutes that Trey's been on the floor in the past five games, Kings are a negative 45 net rating. It's bad. It's rough. Laravia's right above him in terms of being bad. He's at like a negative 30 or something like that. So his minutes haven't been great either, but I'm more intrigued on what I think the combo of Fultz and Laravia could do than the combo of Fultz and Lyles or Laravia and Lyles. But again, it's a hard choice. Like, to, we have 10 playable players, which hasn't been the case in a while.
So I'm trying to look up some stuff on the fly here to kind of figure this out, because I know a lot of the times when people discuss, you know, who's going to be in the rotation, they tend to, like, at least how I feel, they tend to make it like, oh, well, this guy just ain't never going to play no more. And I was like, well, don't have to be that. Like, yeah, you just change people's minutes. And I'm looking at in the last six games, I guess this is since the trade. Yeah, since the trade and the New Look Kings, like you kind of mentioned. DeMar DeRozan's at 37 minutes a night. Zach LaVine's at 37.2. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk is at 36.4. I mean, you take and rotations and stuff, you know, maybe it's not this seamless, but you take 4 to 5 minutes off of all three of those guys. You got 15 minutes there for Markelle Fultz. Mm-hmm. Take another 2 minutes off of Trey Lyles, 2 or 3 minutes. Now you're looking at the guys playing 18 minutes a night, and that's all we're really asking for. So I feel like that makes sense, because I was trying to compare it to, like, the, you know, an average somebody, you know, the league leaders in minutes per game. Kyrie's at 36.6. So I don't know if you need DeRozan playing the – yeah. You don't need DeRozan playing the most of – any player in the league, you know, with this team, like get him down to 32 or something like that. And I think that's a way that you can incorporate Markelle Fultz into the rotation without, you know, going drastic
completely
with
cutting someone out.
Yeah. Nothing to do with nothing. Just a reminder, Kyrie's 32. Like, he ain't a kid. Yeah. Like, leading the league in minutes.
You know who's second?
It's got to be DeMar.
Kevin Durant.
Stop.
36.5.
Stop.
Yeah. DeMar, so I read those. That was six games. When you say DeRozan at 37, DeRozan isn't in the top.
Well, yeah, Mike didn't like him, so his numbers are beating.
Zach LaVine is like probably 12th. He's at 34 tonight.
Mike didn't like
him. Oh, man.
Break his minutes down a little bit.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, 36.5 a night.
KD, that boy play. Is that really, man, there's so many things at play, Will, when the Kings get back on the floor tonight. How big of, and I know you wrote about this too, we were going to play the clip of Doug talking to Matt, I think it was yesterday at practice. But you just wrote this piece about Markelle Fultz, just gave this, you know, kind of way that he could play, you know, you could find minutes for him. How big is the rotation part of this? Like, we talk about the guys and the way that they play, but, you know, how big of how much of the next 27 games or so is on Doug Christie and how he gets these guys who we all think can contribute out on the floor in a timely manner?
Yeah, it feels like a ton, because at the end of the day, like, we can talk about Fultz versus Lyles versus Laravia, but, like, none of those guys are – can you say this all the time? None of those guys realistically are going to be into close games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all, like, during the game, throughout the course of a season, it'll add up. But when it comes down to crunch time, it's the top six guys. And it's, again, a tough choice for Doug. Like, you've got six really good options between the starting five and Keon. And it really seems like Doug's ready to make some difficult choices. His demeanor during the interviews, I thought, was very strong. He was like, let's get to work. This is what's going to happen. I'll be really interested to watch if the games are close tonight, like who out of the gate gets those closing minutes. But it feels like it's going to come down a lot to the coaching decision, which is tough to put on a first-time interim head coach, but that's kind of just the way the roster is shaping out.
Yeah, and I think I mean, I think Doug will do what's best for this team in all phases, right? Like, mm-hmm. A lot of people think what's best for this team is always making the substitution or mm-hmm. doing something. Maybe he understands, and mm-hmm. I think he's got a pulse for this team.
Sometimes for Doug, it's letting him play 12 straight minutes.
Yeah, I got to ride this out a little bit. And because the ramifications for if I don't could last me 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So those are real decisions. Those are real decisions. Like, it's easy for us to say, well, get over it and just play and do what's better for the team. All right. And then what if you lose that game on top of that? Then you lost the game and you might have lost the player for 2 weeks as well. So it's not as simple as it's made out to be, and I think Doug will always do what's best for the team, short-term and long-term.
I do feel more confident having Damien. You always say how there's like two styles of coaches, the coach that plays on feel and the coach that plays on clock. And I think it's safe to say that Doug plays on a feel. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot more confident having that style of coach and substitutions with this roster because it, like, on any given night, it could change. And I think Doug is more capable that, not just Doug, but just that style of coaching and substitutions is a better fit for making those adjustments on a game to game basis.
Will's breaking stuff. Yeah, like, we tried not to corrupt Will, and he's over here breaking stuff.
Too late.
We could talk about rotations, Will. We could talk about finding minutes for Markelle Fultz. We could do all of this, but another thing that you wrote about relatively recently is that three-point shot. And it's been a thing of conversation for a season now. All year.
Yeah.
You know, even maybe dating back to last year. What did your research show you regarding the Kings, their three-point shot, and what the next month and some change will look like?
It's not great, but great.
Thanks, Will.
Hopefully that's awesome. Small sample size.
Ray of sunshine, Will Z here.
Oh, man. I can only do so much with the numbers. Sometimes you just got to go with what they say. But it's, you look at the Kings' three-point numbers all season. We all know their issues. They haven't been hitting threes, and they've been giving up a lot of threes. Mm. It kind of dwindled down a little at the middle of the season, but if we look at the last six games, and that's after Zach LaVine's first game, the numbers just get worse. So in the last six, the Kings have been shooting 33.8%, and their opponents 39.8%. That's a downfall for the Kings' shooting percentage and a rise in the opponent shooting percentage. And then I looked at Kenny's favorite stat, the wide open threes, also going down for the Kings and up for the opponent, not only in percentage, but also in attempts. Mm. So on the season, the Kings were giving up 19.4. On the season, the Kings have been taking an average of 19.4 wide open threes per game and making them at a 38.2% clip. Over the last six games, that number of attempts drops to 17.5 and the percent down to 33.3. On the flip side.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice, Will. No, that's very good.
I throw that in so many articles, by the way. I type it in as much as possible, and it makes me laugh every time. But the Kings have been giving up on the season 17.9 at a 41.2% clip. In the last six games, 19.8, 44.5. So of those four data points, the Kings attempts percentage, opponents attempts percentage, all four have gone in the opposite direction that you want to go, which is not ideal. It could be, again, small sample size, six games isn't that much, but we see the possible nature of this Kings defense kind of collapsing on them. And the early indication of the three-point defense is concerning. I think that shooting could go up. LaVine alone can make that number go up if he gets back to his career average of like 38%. But the defense, I don't know if they're going to be able to kind of reverse that trend. And that's the more concerning one to me.
I got to ask because, I just asking the question. Has there been anything positive that's come out of the Kings in these last six games? I mean, the stats, the advanced analytics, it just shows that they're trash and they're trending that way. I mean, have they done anything particularly positive in six games?
I think the their assists have been climbing the last six games, so it didn't start well. If you look at their assists, 21, 24, 28, 28, 38. I think that's a good sign. I think the offensive rebounds have been pretty good. You see that, especially with the addition of Valanciunas. It's not a fun brand of basketball to just hope for offensive rebounds and putbacks, but I think it can be effective. So we see a bit of that. Just taking a glance at box scores. I don't know. I think Sabonis has continued to play well, they don't go to him enough, where I think that can prop up the team for a 27-game stretch. So nothing super stands out, which is sad to say, and I hate that being the answer, but a few things, but not anything super glaring.
Tell me how the Kings make the playoffs, William. And I don't care if it's through the play-in or however. How does this team, like, what goes right the rest of this way for the Kings to make the playoffs?
I think it's Keegan getting his three-point shot back.
No, well, we're screwed.
I know. But you look at how effective he's been without
the three-point
shot.
Man's in love. He ain't never going to hit another three again.
Or he's less stressed and now he'll...
Well, that is a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah. Credit to Hannah for that one. She thought of that. nice job, but yeah, Hannah. Keegan, he's been a very effective player, shooting around 32% on the season from three. Mm-hmm. So if he can get back up to the high 30s, he'll go from being effective and a good player to kind of being an above, like, not great, but a very good player, if that makes sense. Yeah. Either that or hot hand of DeMar or LaVine. Or just finding one player to carry.
Yeah, that's the killer. Well, it feels like you have to have one. Like, every night, you have to have that.
At least someone. The good thing is they've got a lot of options. Because I wouldn't be surprised. Monk, DeMar, LaVine, DeRozan. I think I said DeRozan twice. Anyway, they have multiple players who can go for, like, 30-plus on any given night. Mm-hmm. Which is a nice thing to have, but also a scary thing to rely on.
Everybody, this is for everybody. Chatty House too. Off the top of your head, I keep looking at this like, what's the most points Keegan Murray has scored this season?
22. I know, that's why I won't answer.
22.
It's a pretty good guess. It's 23.
Who is it against?
You want to give it to him, William? Do you know it off the top of your head?
I don't remember.
It's Minnesota. He scored 23 against Minnesota on October 24th. He scored 22 against Toronto on November 6th. He scored 21 against Brooklyn on November 24th. He hasn't had a 20-point game since.
Yeah. It's been rough.
And he had a game
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't expecting that. When I looked up that stat, when Will said Keegan's, you know, find his three-point shot, I think in my head, I was like, when was Keegan's 40-point game? Like, 2 years ago is when it was.
Mm-hmm. And in those games where he hasn't scored 20 since, you know, November, he had 17 or in the first quarter against Minnesota.
Bruh. Man.
That was such a frustrating game.
Yeah. Man. But yeah, he ended that game with 19.
I think. I don't know. I think that's kind of... That's kind of who Keegan is, what he is, and I think he's. I would obviously want him to score 20, but him hovering around 16, 17, that's cool with me.
Mm-hmm. I won't
rebounding and defense.
I won't cheat. I'll stretch it to 11 games. 11 games, Keegan. This is crazy. Like everything I'm about to say is just wild. Keegan Murray has scored 17 or more points 11 times. That's it. Kings are 8-3 in those games.
The new Harrison.
Harrison was better.
What was the number
it
for
happened
Harrison?
More, right?
It's like 15,
yeah,
wasn't
it? It was 15.
Harrison Barnes scored 15 points. The Kings were the 2016 Warriors. Man. I knew it was bad. I don't think I realized it was that bad.
I know.
How many single-digit games has he had?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
They played, Well, let me guess here. They played.
I love when you.
I'm going to say 55 games.
Well,
yeah,
I could,
they played 55 games. Out of 55 games, single digits. Single digits, 12 times.
William, you want in on this?
Oh, sorry, I was counting.
Will was trying to
cheat. The cheat sheet right in front of him.
Will was trying no, to Kenny Caraway this thing.
And he said, I was counting. Sorry.
You were looking at what?
How many times Barnes scored 17 or more last season and what the record was?
Oh, okay. Oh. I got 15 games.
15 games.
That's 15 games he scored single digits.
It's too many, Keegan.
So we got 15 in single digits, 11, 17 or more?
Yep. And well, let's. Oh man, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, guess they're 8-7 in games where he scores single digits.
Yes,
which isn't.
It's not terrible. Way you would think it'd be way worse, but yeah.
Yeah. Their record for the season. Like,
right. Well, yeah, right. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, no, this was fun. No, this was great, Will. Thanks a lot for joining us. This is great. Kings basketball tonight. Will and his stupid numbers.
Yep.
All right, man. Will, we appreciate you. Thank you, my friend. Lots of basketball next week to talk to you about. So we'll be locked into SI, and we'll be ready to talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care, man.
Will Z, I'm bummed. Will invited me out to the winery this weekend, and I can't go because. My mom's out of town. I don't have anyone to watch Sprout, so I'm gonna have to catch Will next time, man.
Damn.
I'm all about the wine now. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the Damian Sabonis.
I haven't even had his. I can't find it.
No?
No, I don't know where it's at. I forgot. What's it called? 11 or 1-1 or what is it?
I can't remember. I don't know. Let Damian Barling.
What, I'm a liar? Oh,
no, the wine.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, easy.
No, wait a minute. We use La as a liar, not as a wine connoisseur.
Damian Barling, because that's what he had in the episode. Remember when they were talking to Obama? And everybody was like getting, it was like cocktail hour or something like that. And LeBron
I didn't get there yet. Are you talking about court?
Yeah,
I didn't get through the, I got through like 15 minutes. Yeah, I got
spoilers,
through like 10,
Casey.
I got through like 10, 15
didn't
minutes.
Get to that part yet.
What'd you say?
So we haven't got to that part yet. Hey, dude, are you all right?
I don't know, man. I was looking up at this air fried steak that's airing on.
Well, that wasn't an air.
That's Outback steak. That steak looked terrible. No, I was talking about.
It was the Angel Reese commercial.
Oh, okay.
Her meal at McDonald's.
Oh, it looked better than that steak they just showed on whatever that was.
And we
that
don't disparage your Outback. Outback's fine.
Outback's fine.
They closed down the Outback in my neighborhood.
I don't even know where them things are no more.
Yeah.
What's the one where you throw the peanuts on the floor?
Texas Roadhouse. I don't believe you do that anymore, though.
Oh, you don't? Yeah, okay, good. That. I went there once. That was gross.
People used to be like, oh, yeah, like you can go to Texas Roadhouse and throw peanuts on the floor. Like that looks cool.
Today, it's Texas Roadhouse. That's what we got it. We got it.
I ain't even say nothing except
you said it's gross.
So I said throwing the peanut shells on the floor is gross.
Well, you said the food. I thought you were saying the food was gross.
No. I thought that the practice of just throwing stuff on the floor was gross.
Still got 30 minutes.
Also, I don't want to snack on.
I need a little bit more passion, too, if he's going to yell at some. Like I said, there was hate in his heart when he's talking about the other things.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm telling you, the hate's going to be directed towards you two.
It is us.
I feel like I'm happy 20 hours a day. These 4 hours when I get in here with you two.
Oh, man. Texas
Roadhouse. Got everybody out here thinking I'm crazy.
Texas Roadhouse, I'm not crazy about their steaks.
I went there. I can't remember it. Like, I don't even understand, like, why would you snack on peanuts? Like, they're so filling. No, they're delicious.
I mean,
but why would you want peanuts before you're about to have a steak?
It's kind of, for me at least, it's kind of like sunflower seeds.
So you'd have sunflower seeds before you had a steak?
Yeah, they don't fill me up or anything. It's just like a flavor thing. Just something to snack on.
What the hell do I know then?
Well, I don't even know if I'm right. I don't know.
It's what makes us different. I don't know. Just throw peanuts everywhere.
Well, that's what they do in Texas, I guess. at the bars in Texas.
There's a lot of things that they do in bars in Texas that I don't want any part of.
Yeah, if Texas is doing it, then I don't
Yeah,
want
if that's
to.
The cosign, oh, they do it in Texas, then I'm out.
What are they supposed to do? Change your name to Nevada Roadhouse? No, it's Texas. Saying,
well, that'd be the $2 steak you always talk about.
It's cosigned by Texas. I'm cool.
Somebody tagged us in a well. There's a lot going on the internet. Legends there's, has got well, they've got the.
I just got
Kevin
that
Durant
alert.
Joint.
Yeah,
yeah. Legends
not
Kevin
playing
and
that.
CP3.
Boy, they really use that word in the league a lot.
Which one?
Well, the one that Luka called Kyle.
They do.
They use that word so much. I mean, I feel like I've been around the league a long time. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I use it a lot. I don't understand it either. I mean, like, I don't understand why you always got to use it.
Did you see that clip Sean Cunningham posted where Zach LaVine, like, kind of playfully squared up with Jonas Valanciunas?
With the bear?
And then Valanciunas, like, made a move on him. Did you see that? Yeah. The look of fear in there was just this brief, like, moment where Jay Triano was like, oh, my God, is this real? And then, like, you see Jay kind of like, okay.
Valanciunas was looking like a bear going after Zach.
I mean, Sean's right. If I'm, I'll go play around with Keon Ellis. I am not squaring up with Jonas Valanciunas even in a playful way.
That's a big guy.
That is a big human being. My goodness. Man, I meant to ask Eddie if he hates Cody Rhodes as much as you do, because I think he
does.
Yeah,
I saw that.
He hates Cody
somewhere.
Rhodes and Kendrick Lamar as much as you do.
Well, wait a minute. Neither one of us hate Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Neither one of us.
Oh, it was getting testy too earlier when you guys were talking to Mikey Winfield and the Kendrick and Drake stuff came up. I was like, oh my gosh, we're about to lose them right now.
It's the one thing we can't have a conversation about.
I don't hate Cody Rhodes. I just don't think he was the guy. I'll ask you about that when I come back.
I feel like they're missing.
Or during the break.
I've got to go to the bathroom. I almost KC'd this thing. Almost KC'd this thing when Will was talking and just left. We could come back. We got basketball tonight. We might talk about it when we return here. It's Dino and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit at Sky River Casino.
KC, memory is crazy.
KC, love him some 1994 wrestling, boy. Oh, my God.
That's when it was popping.
It was not popping in 1994. It was terrible.
Diesel was the man.
That's where here comes Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
KC looks back on that 94 SummerSlam like, wow. That's when it peaked. That was wrestling at its best.
All right, your number four entrant to the Royal Rumble, Bastion Booger. KC's like, yo, this is fire, dog. This is fire.
I'll never forget. We had to go to the last day of the fair. It was the same day as SummerSlam. Me and my cousin Mike was like, yo, bro, we got to get out of here now, man. We got to go watch SummerSlam. This one's going to be crazy.
Got to get back for the Undertaker versus the Undertaker. Look, KC Tucker says earthquake and typhoon. The natural disasters.
No, remember when they were trying to throw shots at Major League Baseball and they had the wrestler that was like on strike?
What was his name? You know who it was. It was the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, God.
God dang it. What was his name?
It wasn't MVP.
No, it was shoot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this
the other
man.
Way I got to figure it out.
Nah. Everyone be quiet. It was, Spectre got it. It was Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. Damn it, Spectre got it. That's who it was.
There he goes, too. I Googled him. There he is.
It's the Brooklyn Brawler right there. They just put the Brooklyn Brawler in, like, all sorts of different paint, and we're like, here, go do it.
Jacob says, KC, a big Isaac Yankum fan. I don't know, but he was, it was like, yo, this dude crazy. Isaac Yankum, yo, this is crazy now.
He was an evil dentist, bro. What are you talking about?
Every time we become these wrestler types, I got to shout out Lord Tensai. John Cena put him over.
Oh, yeah, that's when it was popping. And then what was the revelation I had the other day when you guys were like, no, man, it was popping. And It was like some random that either won the Royal Rumble or faced John Cena. It was like, I was like, all right, man, these guys. I wish I could remember because I came back and told you guys the next day.
I don't think a random's ever won the Royal Rumble.
They was fighting Cena.
I mean.
I said, come on, man.
Well, no, Cena used to do like, well, no, I mean, Cena put people over. He put over Sheamus.
Murdered the Nexus in one night, though.
Well, he did murder the Nexus in one night. What's the story? Was it, who was on his team? I think it was like Jericho or Edge or maybe both of them. And they were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And Jericho and Edge were like, nah, this is a bad idea.
Horrible idea.
Like, John, don't do this. This is a bad idea. Nah, it's going to work. It'll be fine. So they do the thing. Cena murders the whole Nexus. They go to the back, and John goes, that wasn't probably the best idea.
The only one that lasted is doing commentary right now, I think.
Oh, Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Oh.
Hey, I have good news.
Yep.
Beam Money is back.
I was going to say, I hope it's Prize Picks.
Beam Money is back, baby. We about to cash out tonight, man. I already got the lineup set. I got DeMar DeRozan at 20.5 points. I'm going more. He about to cook. I got Jonas Valanciunas. They got him at 6 points. I'm going more on that. Steph Curry, 12 three-pointers attempted. Give me less. Give me less. I don't think he's going to get 12. Three-pointers attempted. And then Malik Monk, 2.5 free throws made. Give me that. The one I got with the red demon, Zach LaVine. 3.5 three-pointers made. Give me all of that, man. Yeah, give me all of that. So we about to cook. Prize Picks is the way to go. You need to go down, get that Prize Picks app on the phone if you don't already. And here's what you do when you download it. Put the promo code KIFM in. You get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. You don't have to win or anything. Just put the promo code KIFM in there. You get $50 no matter what, man. You must be present in certain states. PrizePicks.com for more details. PrizePicks, run your game. There you go, Zabo.
Such an unnecessary, dramatic ending to that read. It's just so unnecessarily dramatic. And I can't even be mad at him because we were doing some KSFM stuff yesterday where we're at the finish line and my dumbass gets lost. I have no idea how to get to the break. I'm just sitting here talking, and my guy's just letting me talk instead of saying, we'll be back, or like literally anything. I'm just over here on KSFM lost like a jackass.
Was Ultimate Warrior around for SummerSlam 94?
94, no.
What do you think he would have to say about that era of wrestling?
Oh, wow. That's what we're
right
doing.
Now, you've got Tatanka. You've got Undertaker. You've got Razor. And they all come from the top of the rope. And they all make sure that the galaxies are in line. And when the galaxies are in line, you have the robots. And the robots come through. And the Ultimate Warrior will then see the light. And all the little warriors will then know that the kings will light the beam tonight.
I changed my mind. I don't like that impression anymore.
You mentioned robots. You know they got like robot, like bodies now.
Oh, bro, you see like, that
robot? What
bodies? Like they got a robot hanging from like the wires, like the movies.
And then all right, hey man, hey, just
no,
chill.
No, this is serious. This is serious.
Chill.
We're good.
Chill. they got all human bones in them. They do.
That's not a robot. Then
they put. What we have like 206.
This is stupid. I don't like
once
this.
Again, what we got 206 bones in our body.
That's what they tell us.
They put 206 in the robot, and they showed that this was the crazy part. They showed it has full thumb capabilities, and it can squeeze a trigger.
They have it hanging like as soon as like the green light is ready, it's like we're done.
Yeah, they
like
said,
he's ready. It's ready.
Said,
it's go time.
Orders will be. You can place orders later this year.
This one was kind of terrifying. Like, we laughed about the dogs. This one's like, this is like the movie.
I didn't laugh about the dogs. Just to be clear, I didn't laugh.
Yeah, no.
This this world is literally going to kill itself. All of these smartasses who go, look what I can build. I'm a rocket scientist. I'm going to build a robot that can murder people.
I hope they get them first.
And then the jackass that basically runs the world now. Our cars are going to drive off
a
cliff.
Look at this.
Stop
it. Look at this. Yeah, no, for real.
First of all, he looks like he's about 6'4".
Yeah.
6'4", my ass. That's at least 8 feet. He looked like Giant Gonzalez.
We're so good. Oh, my gosh.
And they put bones on him.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to put a badge on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that a video or a picture?
There's a video. Let me see.
Yeah, there's a video.
Let me mute it real quick.
Come on, man. So he's just hanging right there. But, yeah.
Okay.
Twitches and everything. Oh, no.
Oh, this is...
Can you imagine it?
Look at his head. Oh.
Bro, this is whack, bro. This is whack.
Yo, we are...
This is
done.
This is a lot tougher to stop than the robot dog.
We are done.
Yeah. Although the robot dog, I don't know if you're stopping that either. Because they just changed the little head on the front of their thing from... Lovable dog.
Like, how do you even?
So damn Uzi.
What do you like? How do you stop? Like, kill the Wi-Fi? Like, how do you stop this?
You don't, brother. You don't.
You don't. Aliens, come save me, bro.
Bro, we're done. Like, we're done.
Because I already said I'm rocking with the aliens.
I told you,
man,
we're done. All those cars that we have, they're going to like just one day. Our cars are just going to stop just because old boy is like bored. He's like, I'm just going to stop all of my cars. Just stop.
Yeah.
Don't even tweet crazy about him because I'm afraid he'll nuke my Twitter account.
I don't know.
He's got a bad temper, bro. We might be done.
This is crazy. He's going to shoot down the beam tonight.
All right, that's where we draw the line. Don't mess with the beam. What are we going to do about it?
Nothing. Do absolutely nothing. That little robot Jesse just had on the screen is going to climb up to the top of the Golden
robot,
One Center,
by the way.
Rip the beam, and just throw it away.
Well, I mean, we'll say this, though. If I can find the comment, there is a bright side to this situation.
I don't think there is.
Can you imagine they changed the All-Star game to robots versus humans?
Think no defense? You think the humans aren't playing defense now? They gonna get cooked,
man.
They gonna get cooked. I can't find it, but Coach Phil said wing depth on the way.
Well, I was gonna say Matt George says any 6'8" robots want to suit up for the Kings though. Well,
give me a 6'1" point guard instead.
Okay.
I really hope they don't mess with sports. Like I hope. We're not like, we'll get to the point where they'll have the robots playing the game.
Bro.
That is not fun.
Bro, with all that just went on with genders, we're going to start letting mechanical objects into sports?
No, they going to just have their own league.
Oh, I didn't have your own league. I don't.
But they're going to try and they're going to put all the money towards
LeBron
that.
LeBron will still be the greatest.
Because they ain't got to pay them. They ain't got to pay the humans.
No, that's true.
So they're going to put all the money towards that. That's the day I'm out there.
Yeah, but they ain't going to have no personality.
Well, there'll be nerds who want to go watch it. They don't care.
Well, there will be nerds.
Nerds and dweebs that want to go watch it. So that's when I'm out the sports game, bro.
You imagine a robot dealing on KC show?
Would they be funnier than we are?
They'd be programmed to try.
Like, would they be able to riff on, like, Doink the Clown or, like, Goldust for 5 minutes or 10 minutes?
Honestly, I don't know if you have that range, because, like, we literally started yesterday's show with Goldust. You're going to tell me you got the mind to program that into a robot?
I don't even know how you, like, prepare for that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, just on a random Thursday, open up the show talking about the original incarnation of Goldust's character.
Like, can a robot talk through who, like, escaped from Alcatraz and, like, solve that?
Would the robot have a weird affinity for 1994 wrestling and, like, Tatanka?
If you programmed it right.
Casey loves him some Tatanka, man.
Well, I don't know if it was just memorable because it was, you know, they were trying to say, and that was just a terrible storyline, but they were trying to say the whole time, he was trying to tell Luke, Lex Luger, you sold out, and it was him the entire time. And Luger was like, I didn't, bro. I didn't.
K- Can we recap some of the Million Dollar Man storylines?
Well,
just real quick.
Go ahead and inform me.
Well, he came in with the slave, who just happened to be a black dude.
Jesus.
Wait, they referred to it as a the person as a slave.
Well, no,
he was his manservant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But even still, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Virgil was a slave.
Yeah,
Virgil was a slave. And then the Native American wrestler Tatanka, he just buys him. Just buys him. Just like, no, you're mine now. Nobody. I don't know. I guess 13-year-old me didn't find any of this strange.
You're mine now. Oh, that's crazy. He went. He bought another. He brought Andre the Giant.
The more you talk, we talk.
He did
through
buy
it.
Andre the Giant. That was a great storyline, though.
The more we talk through it, it's like wrestling should not exist now.
Well, what? WWE shouldn't exist.
Well, that's
like
what I
Vince
mean.
McMahon survived all of this.
Well, would you want to be stuck with AEW?
Well, to be fair, AEW's probably not here. WWE's not around.
Yeah, probably not. Well, I mean, someone
AEW's
else could.
AEW's barely here now.
They sent out like a press release for their event coming up. I guess it's at the Memorial Auditorium. Yeah. Like, hey, do you want to talk to? I was like, I don't know who this person is.
If they ain't giving us Mercedes Moné, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'll talk to Mercedes Moné. Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
She's a legend in the game.
Yeah,
Ricky Saints is with NXT.
She made the stupidest decision ever.
She did.
Ricky Saints is with NXT. Just hearing you say that makes me sick.
What if that was his idea though?
There's no way that was his idea. I refuse. There's no way. He did not go in there and go, hey, guys, call me Ricky Saints. There's just absolutely no way.
See, Zabo says he picked the name.
He picked the name because they told him he can't be Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, though.
It's bad. Okay. Plus, it kills the gimmick. Like, oh, you look like Ricky Saints. I'd be like, what? Get out of my face.
You're just going through a gimmick change too.
I don't do gimmicks. I'm John Cena. Well, John Cena was prototype for his last name is Starks. I don't understand why his name couldn't be Ricky Starks.
I think they said there was another person in NXT with the last name Starks or whatever their character.
Get out of here.
His first name ain't Ricky.
Well, change that guy's name.
Yeah.
Ricky Starks, 35 years old.
Huh.
I don't think I knew that.
Is he older or younger than you thought?
He's a little older than I thought.
I think all these guys, once they get on TV, are kind of old.
How old
like,
is, how
like
is
Roman,
AJ Styles?
Roman's almost
point?
40, ain't he?
50,
or is
right?
he 40?
He's 47. AJ Styles is 47.
Damn.
Roman, I'm gonna go 41. Yeah, that's going to be my pick. Roman Reigns, 39. Mm. 39 years old, Roman Reigns. He'll turn 40 in May.
Mm.
Let's see how old Jesse's favorite is here at this point. It's got to be 50-something.
Who?
Dwayne is 52. He'll turn 53 in May.
Mm. That's your guy.
No, that is your guy. We have established that. You willed his return. Like, you
yeah,
willed
sorry,
Dwayne's return.
I got connections with the WWE. That's different.
Well, while we're here.
I got CM Punk back, by the way, too.
CM Punk got to be, he got to be 40-plus, huh?
That's easily.
Really,
45, I
easily.
Say.
You're going 45 for Punk. CM Punk.
If CM Punk didn't leave for
46
all those years
old.
He'd be one of the GOATs.
Who'd be one of the GOATs?
If CM Punk, if he didn't leave for all those years.
CM Punk is one of the GOATs.
All right, then we'll just go with that, then.
What do we mean by that? Is he top 25 all time?
Yes. I was going to throw top 15.
Yeah, I'd go top 25.
Well, when I talk about all the older guys, how old is our boy? Sacramento's own.
Jacob?
I'm going to say he's under 30 still.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think he's like 32.
I do not think Jacob Fatu is under 30. See, Jacob Fatu is 32.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Just turned 32. Oh, no. He'll turn 33 on March 7th.
Oh, well, you need to pull up for his birthday. You need to come to the De'Aaron game.
You're going to be so great. Oh, man. D'Lo and Casey walk out onto the floor with Jacob Fatu. With just our arms folded.
See, I wish somebody would say something.
Anybody
right
want to talk? Just walk on, just stand there. Just with Jacob Fatu right next to us.
All these
doing that thing where he just kind of like rocks from side to side.
He had a cold little promo the other day. It wasn't even a promo. It's like a scene. It was like Solo came back, and he was like, yeah, you know, I lost my way or something, and, you know, I needed to get my head straight or whatever, but I need you to, you know, beat somebody so we can get this belt back in the bloodline or something like that. And Jacob didn't do nothing. Jacob just kind of looked at him, just kind of walked off. And it's like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, my, is he about to turn on? Jacob is that dude, bro. He's that dude, man. He got everything on lock. Did you see the behind the scenes when he met the boogeyman and, like, fanned out?
Jacob, I didn't.
Yeah, that was, he's like a big-ass little kid, yeah, who's also scary, too.
Yeah, he fanned out. He was, like the boogeyman, like, shot a promo on his, like, he recorded him shooting a promo, like, personally on his phone. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, let's go, boy, let's go. He was, like, super
like, he was, like, giddy that the boogeyman, like, shot a video or whatever. Matt George threw it in the chatter. There's a video of him from last year, I think, last year's Royal Rumble. And he's, like, standing on a chair, like, getting all excited because Jimmy and Jay are out there to start. Yeah.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Jacob.
And now he's the one.
He's the one, bro. Go ahead and let's start this at WrestleMania. Start his reign. Start his push at WrestleMania.
Who's his dad? Like, I'm trying to figure out where he fits in. He's part of the Nwai family, nephew of Rikishi, Umaga. Oh, older brother of Journey Fatu. I don't know who that is. Someone help us out. Sam is his dad. Okay, yeah, that's right, because he's from Sacramento. Sam is his dad. All right. All right. My man. Seven kids.
Fatu?
Yep.
Jacob Fatu?
Yeah. Says children, seven.
Okay. All right.
Well, good. Well,
Fatu Dynasty.
Well,
bloodline continues.
Well, 20 years from now, this thing going to be popping.
No, they can literally do the bloodline forever. I'm sure.
Well?
No, I mean, like, WWE, like, they could just base their entire company off the bloodline.
They absolutely could.
They've already been doing it.
And there ain't one of them dudes.
They've been doing it for 40 years, I think.
There ain't one of them dudes in the bloodline that can't wrestle.
Nah, man, they get after it.
Not one of them.
They understand the business. You know who else understands the business?
Who?
Domantas Sabonis. Because the business of making the playoffs starts tonight at the Golden One.
Did you just tried to segue us back to the Kings?
Is, well, yeah.
No, nice job.
The Kings do play tonight.
No, they definitely do.
Bro, I gave up on that 20 minutes ago.
No, they definitely do. I'm just eyeballing KSFM really closely because we're already in
here?
Commercial. Yeah. Ooh,
we actually got a minute and a half about, right at 55.
Real quick, how you feel about the game, man?
You know.
Kind of wait and see mode?
Feel bad. Mm-hmm. I absolutely don't feel bad. Like, I feel like the Kings can win most games that they play. I think they could beat the Warriors, but I don't know that they will. I think they could beat the Hornets. I don't know that they will.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the same emotions about this team, you know, going in. Of course, they haven't played in a week. You feel a little bit different. Maybe, all right, you know, I guess one, maybe two practices, get-togethers, whatever. Maybe that was enough. You know, hearing these stuff about putting in sets, all like, hey, all right, I'm in. Like, let's go. I'm not going to go in with this presumptive feeling you're going to play bad. Mm. I'm going to go in with the fact that I expect these guys to play well coming off this break. Steph had All-Star stuff. Jimmy went to Dubai. Draymond was working TV. These guys, did they have a break from basketball? Yeah, maybe Steph didn't, but did these other guys? They didn't really have a break,
right.
Like a break, not like the Sacramento Kings had. So I expect the Kings to come out and be fresher than the Golden State Warriors, but whether that amounts to anything is anyone's guess.
I think we got a big Zach LaVine game tonight.
Well, we got a big – well, what's that mean, though? Because we got a big Zach LaVine game against the Pelicans.
True.
I need a big – fourth quarter Zach LaVine game.
Mm.
Give me that. Give me a big clutch time Zach LaVine game.
Mm.
Give me that. Give me more DeMar DeRozan, you know, clutch player of the year type stuff.
Yeah.
Give me Domas. Give me a group of guys hitting in the fourth.
There we go. We
got to go. In every sense of the word, we've got to get over to KSFM. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, like the beam.